Now on BBC Radio 3, The Essay, and in the first programme of the New Archaeologies series, Beth O'Leary discusses what space heritage might consist of. She asks how we could set about preserving evidence of human contact with another celestial body, and what the artefacts say about international relations on Earth in the second half of the 20th century.
When Apollo 11 astronaut Neil Armstrong first stepped onto the surface of the moon on July 20th, 1960, he said a now famous line. It was a small, albeit extraordinary, step he took, and remains one of the most fabulous leaps for humankind. But after he and fellow astronaut Buzz Aldrin returned to Earth, he also said, yeah, we left a few things up there. What Armstrong and Aldrin had done was create the first historical archaeological site of actual human presence on another celestial body. By the end of 1972, the Apollo program had left 20 archaeological sites on the lunar surface, including pieces from the failed Apollo 13 mission. Adding all the other robotic sites from both the U.S. and the USSR to the first lunar landing site at Tranquility Base, there are currently over 80 archaeological sites on the moon. This represents an estimated 100 metric tons of cultural material and debris. The Soviets created 14 Luna robotic sites, with Luna 2 the first to successfully land on the far side of the moon. The U.S. has 5 Ranger and 7 Surveyor robotic sites, 5 lunar orbiters, and 1 lunar prospector. There are also objects in orbit around the moon. What some call space junk represents the history of the space age. Archaeologists study the material record of human behavior. The popular image of an archaeologist is a man with a beard digging up remains from Roman times. But archaeologists today of both genders who study these recent past properties in space or on other celestial bodies have created a new kind of archaeology. It is variously called exoarchaeology, space archaeology, or space heritage. The basic theories and methods of archaeology are the same, whether one deals with historic periods on Earth or in space. My discipline involves recording, describing, and analyzing material remains in order to answer questions about human behavior and the life history of artifacts. Archaeologists can record the recent past as easily as the remote one. They also evaluate the significance of sites and determine how to best preserve them for future generations. If I had hoped to be the first archaeologist to visit a site on the moon, I was disappointed. Just 2.5 years after the American robotic Surveyor 3 had landed on the moon, Apollo 12 astronauts Pete Conrad and Alan Bean landed next to it. On November 19, 1969, they did a kind of archaeological investigation as part of their lunar mission. They photographed the site, bagged a few artifacts, and brought them back to Earth for analyses. There was even a kind of archaeological report. As such, the Apollo 12 mission provided the earliest example of archaeology in the emerging field of space heritage. As archaeologist Pete Capilotti notes, it is the first example of formational archaeology and the study of environmental and cultural forces upon the life history of human artifacts in space. The most important part of evaluating the significance of a site is to look at the material record in its historic context. The history of the exploration of space and the moon is a Cold War phenomenon. At the close of World War II, the U.S. and the USSR engaged in a race to acquire both German rockets and German rocket scientists. Tested in White Sands, New Mexico, in the American Southwest, where I live, the V-2 rocket was further developed by Wernher von Braun and became the basis for missile technology. A decade later, its descendants launched the first satellites and later propelled the first humans to the moon. The Cold War was played out through military, political, and social maneuvers, not only on the surface of the Earth, but in space as well. The conflict was accentuated in 1957, when the International Geophysical Year announced as one of its objectives to see the launch of a satellite into Earth orbit. That same year, the Soviets successfully injected Sputnik 1, an 83-kilogram satellite, into orbit. With some trepidation, the world watched and listened to the night sky for Sputnik's faint signal and flash. A month later, the Soviets dramatically launched Sputnik 2, carrying a small, unfortunate black-and-white dog named Laika. After several failures, the U.S. launched the 2-kilogram, grapefruit-sized Vanguard 1 satellite. Today, Vanguard is still circling the Earth every 2 hours and is projected by NASA to stay aloft for another 600 years. It holds the title for the oldest human artifact in space. Space from the 1950s to the 70s, and perhaps even today, is thought of as an ideological vacuum, as a wild frontier to be conquered without meeting, so far, any indigenous inhabitants. Going to space and to the moon represents the highest level of technological achievement, but it is set within a narrative of conquest. As Apollo astronaut Frank Borman told me in 2001, the Apollo program wasn't a voyage of exploration or expertise in advancing technology. It was a battle in the Cold War. The sites on the moon are a critical heritage component of the Cold War era. The earliest space artifacts are now just celebrating their 50th birthday. The first lunar landing in 1969 was an event that over 600 million people on Earth either watched or listened to as astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walked on the moon while Michael Collins circled above. It was surreal to watch the grainy black-and-white television images from space. A small white figure in bulky clothes stepped with a little bounce off the ladder onto the moon. One of their first activities was to plant an American flag on the lunar surface. In one classic image, Aldrin is standing erect, saluting a short, wrinkled American flag with the dull, vast blackness of space behind him. Even though no one can own the moon by international treaty, this act was dramatically symbolic of claiming territory and victory. To the Soviets, so recently the nation with all the firsts in space, this act of setting the American flag must have signaled a defeat in space. What do we know about Tranquility Base as an archaeological site? I received a grant for the Lunar Legacy Project from NASA to investigate this, but unfortunately, it did not cover the costs of a site visit. So an inventory of the archaeological assemblage was put together by sifting through many archives. We developed a catalog, which is probably not yet truly complete, of over 106 artifacts and features. It is a complex assemblage of parts and pieces of equipment, sentimental objects, and scientific experiments left in situ, some of which are still working. The critical components were the tools which were used to collect data about the moon. The objects at the site are examples of what was then cutting-edge technology. The skong, a combination scoop and tong, was used to collect the geological samples, which proved to be 3.6 billion years old. A small woven mission patch from Apollo 1 with the names Grissom, White, and Chafee was left there to honor astronauts who had died earlier in a terrible fire during a test. A silicon disc was left at the site, carrying statements from several U.S. presidents and leaders from 73 nations, although the Soviet Union was not among them. The Lunar Laser Ranging Retroreflector allowed scientists to measure for the first time the distance of 378,000 kilometers from the Earth to the Moon. It is still providing data today, over 39 years later. Before taking off from the surface of the Moon, the astronauts had collected about 18 kilograms of lunar samples. They had overshot their original landing spot, and they had only enough fuel for one chance to make it back up to the waiting spacecraft circling above. They were told to jettison anything not critical. For approximately 11 minutes, Armstrong and Aldrin stood and tossed out stuff. The objects were thrown into an environment with 1/6 the Earth's gravity. The pattern of material they created is similar to what archaeologist Lewis Binford has called a toss zone, a large area of discarded material culture. He recorded this zone for the Nunavut Eskimo in hunting camps in Alaska, but it can be applied to astronaut behavior. Within the lunar toss zone are things like Armstrong's portable life support system pack, a trenching tool, armrests, cables, film magazines, and a hammer. More prosaic, like true trash, but equally demonstrative of human presence, are four empty food bags, urine collection devices, and emesis bags. Due to the lack of any wind, atmosphere, or major erosion on the moon, the footprints left there in 1969 should be as crisp as the ones I made this morning in the fine sand in my backyard. The trail of the first human presence on the moon is still there. My research into space heritage began because a student, Ralph Gibson, asked, "Does American federal preservation law apply on the moon?" The Lunar Legacy Project continues today to investigate this question. We chose to focus on the Apollo 11 Tranquility Base site as the best test case for the application of U.S. federal preservation law. It is, I believe, the first time an archaeologist has looked at a site on the moon as an archaeological property and evaluated how it could be preserved. I would argue that this lunar site is a critical component to the cultural landscape of space exploration. The location of the artifacts on the moon is critical to their significance. Without being on the moon, without their locational integrity, those artifacts lose part of their extraordinary significance. The place is as important as the assemblage. The context is as critical as the components. According to the UN Outer Space Treaty of 1967, no nation or individual can own the moon. But it also states that objects launched into space or landed on another celestial body remain under the jurisdiction of those who put them there, in this case, NASA. This right of ownership is strengthened by the minutes of the NASA Artifacts Committee meeting in 1985, which documents that NASA still maintains title to the lunar artifacts and does not consider them to be abandoned. NASA did actually transfer to the Smithsonian Institution the ownership of the Viking lander in 1983. The Viking lander is located on Mars. One of the outcomes of the Lunar Legacy Project was bringing the issue of lunar preservation to the relevant federal U.S. preservation authorities, specifically NASA and the keeper of the National Register of Historic Places. NASA's Deputy General Counsel responded that trying to list the lunar site as a National Historic Landmark would be perceived as a U.S. claim of sovereignty over the moon. The keeper of the National Register did not consider the U.S. government to have sufficient jurisdiction. Also, she did not, as a matter of recent policy, consider it appropriate. Tranquility Base is also clearly an internationally significant site. It qualifies for UNESCO's World Heritage List, which preserves sites of outstanding universal value. But before this can occur, the U.S. as a state party must nominate the site to the World Heritage List. In an ironic turn of events, there is, so far, a lack of commitment by the American government or any international body to respond to the need to preserve the first lunar landing site. There are other Apollo sites and equally significant early Soviet lunar sites. If we have adequate documentation of lunar sites on Earth, why worry about preservation on the moon? Isn't the moon's remoteness enough to keep things safe for the next 39 years? What was once inaccessible due to the great technological investment to get there and lack of desire to return has changed dramatically in the last few years. There is a new space race, which has the components of Cold War nationalism, but with many new players and commercial interests. You can buy your way into space, like space tourists Dennis Tito and Anoush Ansari. Currently, Google has a competition which offers a $30 million reward for sending a robotic vehicle back to the moon, and a $5 million bonus for taking a picture of an Apollo artifact there. To get close to most artifacts on the moon risks obliterating the original footprints with the vehicle tracks, or damaging the physical integrity of the site. Without a commitment to preserve space sites, they are vulnerable to impacts in the future by many varieties of space travel. And it will happen. Humans will go back to the moon. Humanity's home is the Earth. The last picture of Earth taken from Voyager 1, 6.4 billion kilometers away, before it left our solar system, shows us as only a small blue dot in an enormous universe. We should not lose Earth's heritage on the moon. It is even a smaller dot where we have also left our human mark.
Tonight's essay was presented by Beth O'Leary and produced in Bristol by Rachel Kiddie. Tomorrow, a vivid description of the cell of hunger striker Bobby Sands in the now closed Long Kesh Maze Prison in Belfast. That's tomorrow at 11 o'clock.